Friday night at midnight, something happened. It happens every year. Arbitrary, yes, but clearly something changed. And it isn't just a number that we write on our checks. Another year of our life is gone. For some of us, it's just beginning. For some of us, it's winding down. But with the passing of each year, an opportunity comes for us to consider where we are and where we want to be. That's what stopwatches, timers, clocks, and alarms are for. They remind us of limits. They remind us of deadlines. And they remind us of an end. When we're hungry, they tell us when we can eat. When we are watching or playing a game, they tell us when we can begin and when we end, and where our progress might be at any given moment. It also puts limits on the time we sleep, the time we work, and the time we play. We all schedule our lives based on the work that we must do and the sleep that we need, and then, of course, the opportunity to get a little bit of recreation. On a larger scale, we have calendars that limit the days, the weeks, the years, and the lifetime. We have seasons that present opportunities. Things have to be done in the spring if you want to harvest in the fall. Things have to be done to fulfill the responsibilities and obligations. And then, of course, with our years, we have birth, infancy, youth, teen, adult, middle age, elderly, and then, of course, we pass from this earth. And in a cross-section of this congregation, we have some that are in the first section and others that are in the second section. And so God wants us to take that to heart. We watch a game. It starts and it ends. Somebody wins, somebody loses. We enjoy those kinds of things. But they give us an obvious lesson that we need to think about. To everything, there is a season. There's a time to raise our children. There's a time to prepare for our Christian life in which God has some great and intense interest in our preparation. There's a time for every purpose. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up what is planted. Why is God giving us this information? What is it that he wants us to understand? This is not a morbid or a sense that God is showing us hopelessness. You're going to be born. You're going to die. The reality is it's far from that. It's appointed unto man once to die, but death is only a transition from one phase of eternity into another phase of eternity. Once we are born, we all are eternal beings. The death in this life simply leads us to move on to the preparation for eternity. And so God created the means for counting time. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. It's important that we take stock. We saw last week, teach us to number our days. Help us to prepare. One day we will stand before God in eternity. We all know that. But if we can break up our life into sections of years with setting goals and making opportunities so that when we stand before the Lord, we can do something. Because without a plan or a goal, nothing's going to change. We'll just move from this year to the next year to the next year. Nothing changes because no plans are made for changes. No stock was taken of failures from last year, successes of last year, opportunities to develop and make goals and plans so that this year will be more productive than the year before. So when God says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, we have to figure out a way to show God that we're doing that. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. The time to give God our service is these 70 or 80 years that we live here, and then God will assess how well we did. And that gives us a responsibility. Let's look at something that the Lord said about this. He said, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Now, I think that most of us here can understand what that means. The Lord wants us working. The parable of the talents, the parable of the pounds, the parable of the virgins. They're all saying exactly the same thing as this. And it is that God has made us stewards. Stewards of our body, stewards of our time, stewards of our mind, stewards of our opportunities. And how we make use of our stewardship will determine whether we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or you wicked and slothful servant. So the Lord gives us our command day by day by day. And that is, let your waist be girded. That means be ready to work. Let your lamps be burning. It's not time to sleep. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Does this characterize our attitude? As this year ended and a new year has begun, are we showing this? Are we thinking about it? Are we preparing? God's going to ask us on the judgment day. God is going to make this assessment. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So as we look back on 2021, was this how we would characterize our Christian walk? Our prayers, Bible readings, worship services, our opportunities for classes, our opportunities to have evangelism, our opportunities to have good deeds and to map out our lives. I mean, we all live busy lives and we fill it up. We have our jobs, we have our sleep, we have our entertainment. Somewhere in the middle of all that, we need to plug in prayer, Bible reading. We need to plug in evangelistic opportunities. We need to plug in the good works. And Jesus says, when I come, whether I come in the first watch or the second watch or the third watch, if I find you like this, you are blessed. It continues, but know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to overlay this on 2021, and then overlay this on 2022 and ask ourselves the question, if the Lord had come in 2021, would I have been this person? And if the answer is no, then what changes do I need to make this year so that I won't look back on 2022 with the same concerns as 2021. At some point in our life, if we're going to die faithful, we've got to think about these things. Now, some of us don't have to think about them because we're always doing them. We've always done them. And as we look back, we just look for ways, like Paul said, to forget what lies behind and stretch on and try to build on what we did last year to make next year better. He continues, truly I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and the female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day that he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. I don't think the Lord could make it any sterner than that. He's going to cut you in two and then put you into the category of the unbelievers. Now, as we look at this parable, if we want to call it a parable, if we look at this warning, if we consider what the Lord has asked us to do, when we were baptized into Christ, the clock started. The stopwatch started. The game started. Or as Paul will say, and we'll look at this in just a few moments, the race started. Those who run in the race all run, and we're running. So the passing of time requires change, when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers. So when I'm baptized, there's a stopwatch that starts. There's an alarm that is set. And God knows exactly how long it should take for me to grow from a babe into a productive, useful servant. There's a time for infancy where people are doing things for us, and there's a time when God wants us to start taking a role in helping him. When by reason of the time? How much time? Well, only the Lord knows. And really, it depends on our opportunities. Some congregations don't have a full-time preacher. Some congregations in other parts of the world are struggling even to have a Bible. They don't have an opportunity like we do. And the time might be a little bit more extensive in different circumstances. But brethren, we have access to everything. If you have a telephone with a cell phone, you can get a Bible program. You can download the Bible program and they'll read it to you while you're driving. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to take that time. You can use the time you already have while you're driving to listen. Or the Bible reading handouts we put out every year. I give them to you so that you don't have any excuses. You pick one up, you put it in your Bible, and then every day you check it off. It's pretty simple. But the Lord knows when the time is that I'm not girded, that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, I didn't put them down, but he's talking about faith and repentance and baptism. Can we teach people about this? He talks about the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the final judgment. These are things we should be able to teach. Now, the race begins at baptism. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Where would you say you are in your race from infancy to maturity? Where would we say we are in the race that we're running to become as productive as possible so that when the Lord has a need, and I say, here am I, send me, and the Lord says, yes, you're ready. But too many times we've squandered opportunities, and when the time comes, when the Lord has a need, has to find someone else. Has to look elsewhere. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But not everybody wins. Run in such a way that you may win. Are we doing that? Did we do that last year? Are we planning on doing it this year? Could we be doing it better? This passage is a challenge. Run in such a way that you may win. Is that how I'm conducting my life? Is that how I'm worshiping God? Is that how I'm developing myself in the five acts of worship? Is this how I'm studying the scriptures? Is this how I am making plans to talk to friends and neighbors and loved ones about the Lord? Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. How about those sins that easily beset us? Did we make progress in 2021? Are we doing better at fleeing our youthful lusts? If we're not happy with how we handled these youthful lusts in this last year, what plans do we have to exercise self-control? Is there something that needs to be cut off? If your hand causes you to stumble, if your eye causes you to stumble, is there anything in our lives that needs to be cut off? Do we need to get rid of something? Do we need to get rid of our television or our computer? Do we need to get rid of the video games that are taking up too much of our time? We need to be thinking about what needs to be changed. Everyone who competes exercises self-control. They do it to receive a perishable crown. We do it for an imperishable crown. This is serious. A gold medal is important, but not as important as the crown of life. They do it to receive a perishable crown, we an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. Now, that's the whole point of this lesson. Are we running with an aim? What did we accomplish at the end of 2021 that we didn't have before? And you say, well, nothing. Well, then are you running with an aim? Do we have a goal? Do we have a purpose? Do we have a plan? I run in such a way as not without aim. I have a plan. I have a goal. I box in such a way as not beating the air. If I have a battle to fight, I'm going to be serious about it. If there's something that has to be conquered, if there's something that has to be beaten, if there's a whole armor of God, if there's something that's lacking, I discipline my body and make it my slave. Have we done that? Can we honestly say that the things that our body is leading us to do that makes us ashamed, we're beating it down. We're disciplining it, making it our slave. Did we make any progress in the year we just spent? And if the answer is no, what changes need to be made? This is serious. This is important. We only have so many years to do this, because the race ends at death. And like the previous verse said, the Lord said, I'm going to come at an hour you don't expect. Now, that may be a second coming. It also may be our death. Most people do not get a letter from the Lord, you better get your life right with God, because this night your soul is going to be required of you. But we need to live each day like that. So if we want to end like Paul, we need to live like Paul. This was Paul's end. He made those goals. He set the course. He said, I have fought the good fight. What did he say? I don't box without aim. I fought the good fight. What good fight? The fight against sin, the fight against temptations on the one hand, the fight against false teaching and error on the other hand, the fight against the creeping, as Jesus described in the parable of the sower, where the cares of this world, the desires for other things, begin to choke out the word. Do we assess that? Are we doing better this year, 2021, than we were in 2020, than we were in 2019? I fought the good fight, because Paul spent every year wisely. I finished the course. I kept the faith. If you want to end where Paul ended, we have to run. And you can see that now the hourglass, as Paul's life is now drawing to a close, and he's comparing the sand that has gone through the hourglass, and he says, that sand represents my fight, finishing my course, and keeping the faith. Well, a lot of sand went through our hourglass this last year. We talked about this last week. But as we make plans for this year, you can't just wrap up last year and forget about it. You have to make some assessments. Now, Paul talks about his race, and he makes it clear that it's for all of us. I press on, Paul said. I press on that I may lay hold for that of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Do we even know what that is? Why did Jesus save us? Why did Jesus lay hold of us? What's his expectation? What did he desire? What did he want? Well, we just read it. We just read it where he said, I want your lamps lit, I want your loins girded, and I want you to be like somebody who's working hard so when the master comes, you can be commended. I want to lay hold of that. And Paul was intense. He says, one thing I do, one central goal, forget what the behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Now, as we saw last week, you can't forget what's behind until you've taken care of it. You've got to repent of the things that you didn't do right. You've got to set priorities and make sure that you have the fruits of repentance. In other words, I'm not going to have to do this next year. Next year, I will have reached whatever goal I have set. Because as Paul said, I press toward the goal or the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you remember in the 1 Corinthian letter, he said, they run for a perishable crown, we're running for an imperishable crown. Now, that's the goal. Did we focus on it? Are we happy with 2021? Are we prepared to make whatever changes? And like I said, next year I'll be preaching this again slightly differently. I use different scriptures every year. I'd use different approaches every year. But the goal is to make sure that what I didn't do in 21 will be done in 22. Whatever changes need to be made. I press. That means I'm emphasizing this. This is important. One thing is important. Then he says, as many as are mature will have this mind. So are you mature? You think like Paul? Are we setting goals, making plans? As I say, January 1 is an arbitrary decision. I don't think that the Lord picks any specific day. It's just a good opportunity. The rest of the world is making New Year's resolutions. The rest of the world is making plans to do better. Why don't we? Why don't we make those kinds of plans? Let us, therefore, as are many as are mature, have this mind. What mind? Pressing on. One thing I do. Pressing toward the goal. Verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Would you be able to set yourself forth and say, you young converts, look at me. Look at what I'm doing and follow me because I'm following Paul. That's what Paul is saying here. Look for the people in the congregation that have those attitudes and then go talk to them. What are you doing? What should I be doing? What do you think my weaknesses are? How can I make better plans? These are important things that we all need to give careful thought to. We need motivations. How about these? Are we seeking first the kingdom? Would you honestly say that 2021 is a clear example? The money that I have went to the Lord more than anything unimportant. And my time went to the Lord. And my opportunities went to the Lord. I am an exemplary example of seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, of course, none of us are going to be able to say that because we're humble enough to realize I could be doing more. But the issue is, how do I feel about 2021? Did I seek first the kingdom? Can I honestly say that there's growth and development, or did I just tread water this last year? You know, it isn't as though we reach a certain level and then we say, okay, I'm here, let the current take me now. The Lord said, every day, make sure your loins are girded. In Ecclesiastes 9:11, do it with all your might. In Acts 2:41, they continued steadfastly. Joshua asked this question, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you say that at this point in your Christian life, that describes you? Redeem the time, buy up the opportunities because the days are evil. It is accounted, verse 1 Corinthians 4:2, that every steward be found faithful. We have a stewardship. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 12. As each one receives a gift, We need to be ministering. We need to realize that we are not to think more highly than we ought to think, but we should be thinking soberly. And then twice in Titus, Paul tells Titus to teach the brethren to be zealous of good works. Are we zealous? When you hear in the announcements, somebody's sick, are we zealous? Are we going to do something about it? Are we going to call them? Are we going to take them a meal? Are we going to pray about this? Are we zealous every time we find an opportunity? Would you say last year that maybe you procrastinated a little bit too much? Are we going to make some plans to make sure that that doesn't happen again? We need to be assessing our progress. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 15 through 18, Jesus gives the parameters for the parable of the sower, and he says that the Lord made the assessment of the person's ability and gave them the opportunity. He gave the 10-talent man 10 talents because he had the ability to deal with those 10 talents, so he gave him the opportunity. And that's an assessment we all have to make, and I hope we've made it. How intelligent am I? How good am I? What are my gifts? And what can I do? Because there is a responsibility. On the judgment day, the Lord is going to say, this is what I expected you to do. I know your limitations. I know what you can do and what you can't do. Like he told the man who hid his money. He said, you could have at least given it to the bankers. That would have been your lowest threshold, not to just hide it, but to use it to the best of your ability, which is obviously pretty small. Whereas the other two guys came in saying, we doubled your money. We doubled your talents. My abilities and my opportunities equals my responsibility. And we all bear our own load. Don't compare yourselves to others. Bear one another's burdens. But at the same time, bear your own burdens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, not comparing ourselves as the foolish do, making assessments, I'm better than you, therefore I must be a good Christian. That is a very dangerous way to make decisions about what we should be doing. We need to compare ourselves to ourselves. We need to assess our opportunities and our abilities and realize nothing is too small. We have the widow's mite, and we have the statement Jesus made, cup of cold water for some of you, that'll be enough. Others, I have much higher expectations of. Paul did a lot more than give a cup of cold water. So did Peter. I don't know where we are on the scale. You do. I do. I know where I am. I know where you, and you know where you are. We can't compare ourselves with each other. We have to look back. That's why this time of year is so important. Look back. Did you buy up your opportunities? Are you measuring up to your responsibilities? That's what the Lord meant when he said, have your loins girded and be like men waiting for their master. And that's what we need to be doing. So the question now is, where are we? Where would you put yourself? You're there. We're all there. Some of us are on the left. Some of us are on the right. Are we numbering our days? Did we number 2021? Will we number 2022? Will we set goals? Will we make priorities? That's why we give the Bible reading. You can set a goal. I can read the whole Bible in 1 year. Now, you can't do it in 1 day. But if you check that thing off every day at the end of the year, you will have reached your goal. So, we need to number our days. We need to understand. If you want your life to end as David's, you have to make plans. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Now, that takes two things. First of all, I have to know what the will of God is. And secondly, I have to be able to set aside my will and put his in his place. Now, most of us have done the first part. We know what God wants us to do. But for whatever reason, we've been procrastinating. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves, if it's not going to be this year, wasn't last year, wasn't the year before, when's it going to be? When are we finally going to kick in? When are we finally going to put ourselves into drive instead of neutral? When are we going to take off the emergency brake? When are we going to make the decision to start running with aim and boxing and fighting with purpose. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Two questions. Do you know what holy conduct and godliness is? If it bit you in the face, would you know what it was? Do we know what holy conduct and godliness is? If we don't, then how can we be that kind of a person? And if we do know what they are, then we have a ruler and we can measure ourselves to see whether we're there or not. And basically what we're talking about with holy conduct, as Peter said in 1 Peter, be holy because I'm holy. Or, as he said in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be separate, and I will receive you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Holy conduct means that we cut off and we put on. We take off the dirty clothes, we put on the clean clothes. We take off the bad attitudes, we put on the good attitudes. That's the holy conduct. Godliness means God's in your mind every day, 24/7. First thought in the morning when you wake up, last thought when you go to bed is God. How am I measuring up? Did I make the right decisions? Do I need to repent of everything? Anything? God is watching me. Every word's getting written down. The books are going to be open. My life is going to be sifted. And a godly person says, I'm going to do something about that. I want to make sure that God can be happy with me. At the end of every day, I'm going to make sure. And if I don't know, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Looking forward to and anticipating, hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's an interesting concept. How extensive did the Lord's second coming play in last year? How often did you think about it? Peter says you should be thinking about it all the time. You should be looking forward to it. You should be anticipating it. It's going to be the greatest day that will ever be. Looking forward to it with anticipation. Desiring it for it to come quickly. Is that us yet? And if it's not us yet, when will it be? Will we make these plans at some point in our life? We have to stop and take stock. We have to ask ourselves, am I running? Am I fighting? Am I contending earnestly for the faith? Am I zealous for good works? Am I like the person whose loins are girded and the lights are lit and he's working, preparing for the opportunities? Here's a clear sign of progress, and you can ask yourself this question. Our outer man is decaying. Now, Caden doesn't know this yet. He doesn't know his outer body's decaying yet because he can't see it. It is, but he can't see it. You and I, we got the gray hair, we got the wrinkles, we got the and the aches and the pains. We see our outer body decaying. But our inward man, do we see that? Is our inward man being renewed? Are you 10 times the Christian you were 30 years ago? 50 times the Christian? Are you more knowledgeable? Are you more self-controlled? Where are we? For our light affliction, which is but for the moment, works for us a more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. At some point, we stop anticipating the future. It's not usually when you're 18, and it's not usually when you're 20 or 30, or even in your 40s, you're still anticipating. Kids are going to graduate. You're going to have kids. You're going to get married. You're going to have a career. And then all of a sudden, about the age of 50, you're not anticipating anymore. Now you're looking back and the anniversaries and the things that have happened in the past. And at some point, we have to let go. I think for me, it's when my parents died. When my parents died, I had to stop and let go of the physical relationships that are so important. And at that point, we stop looking back, and we start looking forward again, except this time we're not looking forward to what's in this life at all. Verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Are we there yet? Maybe some of us lost family members and we didn't make the transition. You've got to make this transition at some point. If you don't, you can't fight without aim. If you don't, you can't put off the weights and the sin that so easily besets us. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's a clear sign of progress. And it has to happen. As I say, it probably won't happen at 18, and it probably won't happen at 30. But somewhere between 30 and 50, a transition will have to be made. And if it's not made at 50, then you're going to be playing catch up. Because it's only when this happens that we can understand what Paul is talking about and what the Lord is talking about. Now, Paul's final end. Do you remember Balaam? He said, "Let my end be like his." I like that statement. I don't like anything else about Balaam, but I like that one statement. I'd like my end to be like Paul's. I'd like my end to be like Jesus. Here's what he said. "I am already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." If the Lord said to you, "I'm going to judge you based on 2021. Your time is up. You're not going to get 2022. You only get 2021. Are we here? "Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but to all of them that have loved his appearance," or his appearing. Now, there's another verse I wish I'd put in here. Matter of fact, it was the one I thought was in here. And that is, "I'm not ashamed, for I know," or "I am persuaded, that he is able to keep what I've committed to him to that day." But you know something? You got to commit something first. You can't look forward to what you've committed if you haven't committed. So let's look back, not on 2021. Let's go back to our baptism. What year were you baptized? Maybe you don't remember the day. Hopefully you remember the year. What changes have occurred? Are we still the same person, or are we a different person? Are we still selfish? Are we still sinners that don't repent because we enjoy our sins? These are questions. They're important questions. Our last slide today is just, once again, some goals. Now, these goals are so basic and minor, you may be saying to yourself, "Look, we've seen this for 10 years now, or 9 years now. We've seen this. We know about Bible reading and prayer and scripture reading." Well, then let's add some new things to it. I'm going to visit one of my brethren. I'm going to have somebody in my home once a week, once a month, once a year. How often do we have people in our homes? Given to hospitality. What does that mean? How do we do it? There's goals that we can set. And so, brethren, 2021 ended on Friday night at midnight. 2022 started yesterday morning, and now we're 2 days into it. And decisions need to be made. Assessments need to be made. Not because it's January of 2022, but because that's how we number our days. And I just picked this, and I will continue to do this until I die. I'm going to take the end of each year and force us to take a hard look. And it isn't just you, I'm doing it too. Sometimes I don't like what I've done in a year, and I have to make some plans and make some changes. All right, brethren, as we conclude our lesson this morning, I don't know how you feel right now. You may feel really good, or you may feel really bad, or you may be somewhere in between. I hope you're not just apathetic. I've heard this lesson 9 times. I'm sick of it. I wish you'd quit preaching it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Well, why not? It's what Paul said. It's what Jesus said. It's what the scriptures emphasize. We're going to be singing number 285 here in just a moment. And each one of us has an opportunity now to take these things with us. to make some changes, to repent, to confess, maybe even publicly. Maybe this is the day to be baptized into Christ. You know what you need to do. And I hope that you'll do it if you need to do something before the day you die, because then it'll be eternally too late. If we can help you in any way, let us know while we together stand and sing.